Chapter 3. In the shadow of Shaddai, there is deliverance. God is unchangeable. What he did in the past, he is still able to do now. In Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2, there is a beautiful promise available to every believer. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I pray for you today that this promise will manifest every day of your life in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Two powerful stories in the book of Daniel demonstrate God's ability to save, protect, and deliver. Chapter 3 recounts a riveting tale about three Hebrew boys who were dramatically delivered from a death sentence under the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, the second and greatest king of the Chaldean dynasty of Babylonia. Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Syria and Palestine and built Babylon into a great city. God had used him to punish Judah for its sins by conquering the city and taking the Jewish population into captivity. He also vandalized the temple at Jerusalem, taking with him several valuable articles. The sum total of the might and power of Nebuchadnezzar is captured in Daniel chapter 2, verses 37 to 38. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind, and the beasts of the field, and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. In short, he was a superpower with a divine mandate and heavenly recognition. Against this great king were three slaves, prisoners of war. The sovereign of a superpower nation, beholden to no one, absolute in his power, against three slaves. I put emphasis on this for you to appreciate the power dynamics. Yet, the game changer was that these boys were the product of a covenant between Jehovah and Abraham. Not only were they partakers of the covenant by virtue of heritage, but they were also active and willing participants. This was proved in Daniel chapter 1, where they, in addition to Daniel, chose not to defile themselves with the royal food and drink. In other words, they made a conscious decision to obey God's laws in spite of being in unfriendly territory. They were faithful and diligent in maintaining their walk with God, even in the face of adverse circumstances. Theirs was not, when in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. They maintained their stance in the face of great danger to their lives. They lived fully the admonition of Jesus to fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. They had made their abode in the shadow of Shaddai, and nothing was going to change their testimony. Out of all the Jews selected for training and service, Daniel and his three friends stand out as the only ones who stood for God. The Bible does not say what happened to the others, but we can conjecture that they bowed to the laws of Babylonia, the new world they found themselves in, thereby abandoning the covenant that separated them from the world. A lot of Christians these days behave likewise. They live their lives according to the dictates of the world, not caring about the sacrifice that secured their redemption. They apply worldly wisdom to get ahead and would cheat, lie, and manipulate with the best of unbelievers. As a matter of fact, in a lot of cases, you probably wouldn't be able to distinguish between believers and unbelievers. Consider it this way. Babylon represents the world into which we are born. The god of this world, as we know, is Satan. He controls its systems, and everyone who is not a child of God through Christ is under his control and dominion, whether you know it or not. On the other hand, anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior has been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Though we live in this world, we are not of the world, neither are we to fellowship with it. We are set apart for God. We are to be a light that shines in the darkness of this world, drawing people to righteousness. We must, therefore, live an uncompromising life that brings glory to God. The Christian that bows to every storm is subject to every fickle influence, running away from the protective shelter of God to seek help elsewhere is destined for defeat and destruction. Hear what the Lord says. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 3. Ahaz, one of the kings of Judah, is a prime example of how unfaithfulness to God can cause your downfall. For his evil ways of worshipping Baal, sacrificing his children in the fire, and engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out from the land before Israel, God delivered him into the hands of the kings of Aram, Israel, Edom, and the Philistines, who pillaged Judah and inflicted heavy casualties on him. Instead of repenting, Ahaz continued in his sin, trading the property of God and of the kingdom for help from a Gentile nation, Assyria. Yet he was not helped. The conclusion of his life was this. In his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord. He offered sacrifices to the gods of Damascus, who had defeated him. For he thought, since the gods of the kings of Aram have helped them, I will sacrifice to them, so they will help me. But they were his downfall, and the downfall of all Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 22 to 23. At his death, he didn't even have the honor of being placed in the tombs of the kings of Israel. What a shame! Beloved, don't run away from God to seek answers elsewhere because of a little problem. I say little not because your situation is inconsequential or in an attempt to diminish your pain, but I do so because every situation is little before Jehovah God. Trust in the Lord. Wait on him. There are two categories of Christians who are guaranteed not to enjoy the fullness of God's blessings: the lukewarm Christian and the double-minded Christian. The Christian who would laugh all the way to the bank is the one who trusts and obeys God in all times and seasons. The game changer for these three Hebrew boys was that they had made their firm abode in the shadow of Shaddai, and so God had no choice than to show himself strong in their situation. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Here were these three Hebrew boys, caught between a rock and a hard place. The king's edict was clear. At the sound of the musical instruments, all the nations and peoples of every tongue were to fall and worship the image of gold. Whoever did not would be thrown into a blazing furnace. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not. They stood for righteousness in the vast sea of idolatry that surrounded them, irrespective of the consequences. They were summoned before the king and interrogated. Here was their response. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. My goodness, what courage, what audacity, what verve. Maybe their hearts were filled with fear, even as they uttered those words. Maybe their knees quaked, maybe their whole bodies trembled, but they said it anyway. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is doing what you have to do in the face of fear. Beloved, how many times have you lost courage and turned your back on God? Choosing to bow to peer pressure because you don't want to lose your friends? Because you don't want to be unpopular? Choosing to steal and embezzle instead of humbling yourself to ask for help? You were not faced with a physical blazing furnace, yet you could not stand. Repent, seek forgiveness, and realign yourself with God's purpose and will for your life. What was the result of their positive defiance? 1. The king was furious. 2. The furnace was heated 7 times hotter than usual. 3. Fully clothed, they were firmly tied, bundled up, and thrown into the blazing furnace. Everybody watched and waited for the inevitable. Now see what Shaddai did. 1. God himself stepped into the situation. Suddenly, there were 4 men instead of 3 in the fire, and the 4th man looked like a son of the gods. 2. Instead of being consumed, they walked in the fire. 3. They came out of the fire unharmed. Their hairs were not singed, robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. 4. They became a testimony to the world. Listen. I don't want you to miss this. The expectation of Nebuchadnezzar and all of Babylonia failed because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood for God. They had the victory because they did not love their lives so as to shy away from death. They did not try to save themselves by human tactics. And so God proved Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2 to them. They literally walked through the fire and came out unscorched. They came out of the trouble whole and undefeated. Yours may not be literal fire, but God is still able. As a matter of fact, the NLT translation of Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2 uses the expression fire of oppression. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Whatever your fire is, God still has the extinguisher. You shall come out whole. Only believe and you shall see the deliverance of the Lord. Not only were the 3 boys saved, but in a twist of fate, the people appointed to execute the death warrant were consumed in their place. Isn't God amazing? May those who have been appointed to do you evil, even those who have elected themselves to do you harm, be consumed by their own wickedness in the name of Jesus. You are safe under the shadow of Shaddai. My darling, believe me when I tell you that God can be trusted to protect your life and all that is yours. I've gone through difficult situations guaranteed to melt the bones of someone with lesser spiritual constitution. But the Lord kept me. I shall never forget my near-death experience in apartment 1503 in a high-rise building in Chicago, Illinois. That dawn, I woke up to the pressure of hands on my body, gently lifting me from the bed towards the window to chuck me through it. Get this, my apartment was on the 15th floor. Being hurtled through the window was a sure ticket to death. Whilst I was conscious, my mind was alert and able to understand what was happening. My body was immobilized. I couldn't move my limbs, I couldn't speak, shout for help. I could do nothing to save myself. Any shouting I could and was doing was in my mind. I was screaming as loudly as I could, but it would just ricochet off the walls of my mind. I was done. I could see my body return home in a coffin, with cause of death stated on the death certificate as suicide. Nobody would know and understand that I hadn't taken my own life. But then, I turned my mind to God. Whilst I could still not get my vocal cords to work, I started to sing his praises in my head. As I sang, something began to change. Suddenly, my immobile vocal cords began to respond. A word of the song would pop out of my mouth. Then two words, then three words, until I burst out in full praise, mid-air with a few inches to go to be chucked out of the window. Suddenly, there was a change in the atmosphere. The same hands that were ushering me to my death began to lower me in reverse. Slowly, I was returned to my sleeping position. I jumped off the bed. I was saved. The Lord had saved me. Glory, hallelujah. That was in 2008. It is now 2024, and I'm still alive, well, able, and serving God. Who told you that God cannot save? Who told you that God does not exist? God is alive, still strong and still able. Why do you put your trust in the works of men? Why do you trust in demonic powers parading as gods whose sole aim is to destroy you? These cannot save you. The devil hates you, and his sole agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5-8 lays it out perfectly. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do you know why you shall not see when heat cometh? It is because you are under the shadow of Shaddai. Can I prophesy into your life? The Lord shall be your banner and your defense. The Lord shall be your shield and hiding place. May he protect you from the roaring lion, the serpent, and the scorpion. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so shall the Lord surround you. He shall be a wall of fire around you, and no harm shall come near your dwelling or overtake you, in the mighty name of Jesus. The God who saved Daniel from the lions, saved David from the lion, the bear, Goliath, and even the murderous intents of Saul. The one who collapsed the entire economy of Egypt to save his covenant children. May that same God speak to you today, in the name of Jesus.